is extremely simple. In Karmakanda, there are so many different rituals that have to be followed. Of course, sometimes in devotional service, there are rituals to be followed also, just like in deity worship. If we were to follow Hari Bhakti Vilas, all the rituals that were there, exactly as they were written and as they were meant to be followed originally, then probably most of us would be discouraged, because there's so many things, so many mantras to learn, so many mantras, tantras, mudras, so many things to learn. Similarly, in the jnana process, if one is cultivating knowledge, similarly, even then, one has to follow so many rules and regulations for purification. He has to study very deeply all the Vedic conclusions. The process of yoga, that's very complex, as everyone knows. It's very complicated to put your legs up behind your neck and breathe in different ways. But bhakti is simple, straightforward, and natural. It is simple and straightforward because it is natural. That example is there. It's easy to go like this. It's not easy to go like this. You do the same thing. You touch your nose. But you do it in the natural way. If someone says, point to your nose, you don't usually go like this. You'll go like this. So because bhakti is natural, it is the natural function of the soul, therefore it is easy and straightforward. Especially in this Kali Yuga, the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught this to us, by chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Yaha hoite sarva siddhi hoibe shobha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna, then everyone can achieve the highest perfection of life very easily and very simply. It's astonishing to consider. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita how this Gopal Chakravarti, he was in the assembly when Haridas Thakur was explaining the glories of the holy name, that simply by a dim reflection of the chanting of the holy name, you can achieve liberation. And liberation is not that liberation which is aspired after by yogis in many, many births, that is achieved not even by the proper chanting of the holy name, even by the imperfect chanting. So Gopal Chakravarti, he thought, how is this possible? And he blasphemed Haridas Thakur in the process of devotional service, not understanding that actually this is a fact. Because this is the Maha Mantra. Mantra is a powerful sound vibration. Mantra means that which delivers the mind. Man means mind, and tra means trana, that which delivers, trayate. So how powerful it must be, because how powerful is the mind, that Arjuna, he already gave the idea that the mind is more powerful than the wind. To control the wind might be possible, Arjuna thought, but to control the mind seems even more difficult. Tasyaham nigraham mane vayariva sudushkaram, very difficult to control. But the mind, which is the polluted consciousness, which is expressed through so many wrong desires, which bind us in material life, birth after birth, we can be delivered from this depraved condition by the chanting of a proper mantra, especially this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is extremely powerful. Therefore it is called the Maha Mantra. What is the evidence that it is extremely powerful? That the Upanishad says, Iti Shorashakam Namnam Kali Kalmasha Nashanam. By chanting this mantra, all the bad effects of Kali Yuga can be destroyed. Kali Yuga, it's a bad age, as we're all experiencing. And it seems to be almost impossible to get free from that influence. Wherever we go, the influence of Kali Yuga is there. Externally, there are so many sensual impetuses. In the we see so many billboards, buy this, buy that. And even inside our mind, even if we lock ourselves in a dark room, turn the lights off, and try to be away from all these influences, still so many bad things are there in the mind. But the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so powerful that it can deliver us from this diseased condition. Just this. Sometimes devotees, they think, well, we have to do something different or special. We have to stay up all night and do some special austerities. Here, this Payavrata process of worship is being recommended. But we're not recommending. This is recommended for Aditi. She had some particular purpose to fulfill, some material desire to fulfill, and therefore she was recommended to take this up. Actually, she didn't have to take this up. She could have, just by following a simple process of devotional service, become purified. But she wasn't thinking of becoming purified. But Kashyap Muni was thinking how she could become purified. But the process of purification is so simple. One Srila Prabhupada said that it's so simple that you might just miss it altogether. That we get so concerned with so many different things to do, and we find out some new way to prosecute devotional service, and we got some new ideas and some wonderful thing which we read in some book by some kami guy, and think, well, this can really help us in our devotional service. But no, the process of devotional service has to be received in Guru Parampara. Even the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that also has to be received in Guru Parampara, even though it is the natural function of the soul to chant Hare Krishna. But the process for receiving it is in Guru Parampara. That verse is there from Padma Purana, that Sampradaya Vihina Ye Mantras Te Nishvalate Mata, that even if we have a very good mantra, if we don't receive it in proper Sampradaya, then there will be no actual result. Or even that chanting of Hare Krishna, it may not even be counted as chanting of Hare Krishna. Just like we see in Bengal, there are so many professional kirtan groups. Just like you have professional rock groups in the West who go on tour entertaining people with their music. So there are professional kirtan groups who entertain people with their music. But because people in India are somewhat pious, and they don't just, well, at least they have a background of being pious, then they don't just have any old rock and roll music, although now they are doing. But everything should be religious. So for their entertainment, also religious. So they're chanting Hare Krishna in a very, what they think is melodious way. Prabhupada called it howling. And they're paid for doing that. And if you pay them, they'll chant whatever so-called mantra someone makes up. Jai Guru, whatever they'll sing. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur commented, they're not chanting Hare Krishna. They're chanting money, money, because that's why they're chanting. Chanting Hare Krishna means to call to Krishna, please engage me in your service. But they're calling out, please give me some money. Our time is up, 2 hours. Now we've finished. No more chanting Hare Krishna. So that is not actual chanting Hare Krishna. That Jagarananda Pandit has already commented in this regard, that Ashadu Sange Bhai Krishna Nam Nahi Hoy. Nama Ka Bahire Bhate Tabu Nam Kabu Noi. He said that without the proper association of devotees, chanting Hare Krishna is not chanting Hare Krishna. Even though the sound may be there, it may appear to be the same sound, but it's not actually the sound. It's a material reflection of the pure holy name. Just like sometimes we see our devotees, they think, we'll go to Vrindavan, we'll buy some deities and bring home. You can't buy deities. You think you can just walk into Loy Bazaar, how much is this one? Bargain with the shopkeeper, and then you can buy Krishna. It's not possible. The Krishna, he becomes manifested at the invitation of his pure devotee. Not that now, oh, I bought some very nice Jagannath deities, very cheap price. You can't buy Krishna. You can get Krishna by begging, free, but not by paying money. By begging, that means Krishna she tomar Krishna dite paro tomara shakati ache. Amito kangal Krishna Krishna boli dhai tava pache pache. Krishna can be received by begging from the devotee. Prabhupada said that pure devotee, he can give you Krishna, just like that. He can give you. But you have to beg. That not just, oh, all right, if you give me Krishna, all right, okay. if you like. What's Krishna anyway? And after some time, I was chanting Hare Krishna. I used to be a devotee. It was okay. Now I'm doing something else. It was okay when I was a kid, but you know, now I'm grown up and okay, it was nice. Hare Krishna movement's nice, but I've done enough devotional service for this life. And maybe I'll do some more next life. So by that kind of attitude, you can't get Krishna. But Prarthana Kuraye Shada Narottam Das. He's always, Narottam Das is always praying. Not that, sometimes I like to do devotional service, sometimes I like to do something else. Then you can't get Krishna, because Krishna is akinchana gochara. He is the property of those who have no other property in this world. He is available to those who have nothing else. There are many terms. Ekanishta bhakti means pure devotional service, means with only one faith, only one resolve. Ekanta bhakti means that the goal of your life is only one thing only. Shuddha bhakti, that pure devotional service. Prabhupada often used to call this unalloyed, no mixture of anything else, not an alloy where you mix different metals, only pure gold is shining and bright. So in the same way, pure devotional service, unatajvala rasa, is shining and bright, and mixed, it's not very pleasing. Here we have in this verse, Vatang Keshava Toshanam, which will satisfy Lord Keshav. But how is Lord Keshav fully satisfied? Sangsidhya Hari Toshanam. How is Krishna fully to be satisfied? By pure devotional service. Not by any other process. Nasadhyati mam yogo, nadharmam sankhyam udhava, nasvadhyastapastyago. Yatha bhaktiya mamorjita. Krishna tells Uddhava that there are so many different processes, such as following religious principles according to the Vedas, by engaging in the severe austerities of the yoga system, by investigating the nature of reality by the Sankhya system, by forming different rituals, by performing austerities. But Krishna tells to Uddhava that none of these things satisfy me. Bhakti, pure devotional service to me, that satisfies me. These other things, all right, they satisfy me a little bit, because at least you're following something from the Vedic literatures. But Krishna is actually satisfied by pure devotional service. And that pure devotional service that is taught in the parampara system, what comes down unchanged. Just like we see what Srila Prabhupada gave us, that is pure devotional service. And he was always instructing that we should become pure devotees and execute pure devotional service. Now, we see there are also different approaches. So many different approaches to devotional service. But what is that approach that will satisfy Krishna? Pure devotional service, that means without any material desires, as it's received in the parampara system. We'll find in India there is Hinduism, and Prabhupada said that everyone in India is Krishna conscious. He said that more than once. He said even the Muslims. So everyone in India is Krishna conscious, that's true. Then you may ask, then why would Prabhupada spend so much time and energy preaching in India if everyone's already Krishna conscious? They're Krishna conscious, but almost all are not purely Krishna conscious. It means there's some consciousness of Krishna. We find in our temples in India on special occasions, in Bombay on Janmashtami, estimated 1 million people visit Sri Sri Gauranitai Ki Jai. Estimated 1 million people visit throughout the course of the day. At the Rath Yatra festival in Calcutta, the police estimate 2 million people attend every year. So people are coming, they have an attraction to Krishna. But if we speak with them, we'll find that almost all, they don't have the proper idea of what is pure devotional service. It means they need preaching too also. They're also mixed up with so many Mayavad ideas or Sahajya ideas, or smarter ideas, or just some really funny ideas which they picked up somewhere. So they're not coming in the parampara system. Originally, the Vedic knowledge was given to Lord Brahma. We see Kashyap Muni inquired from Lord Brahma. Why did he inquire from him? Because he received the Vedic knowledge. But then so many different schools of thought came into being. And even within devotional service, there are different schools of thought. Some are bona fide. We're discussing the different paramparas. There are four lines of parampara which are considered bona fide. The Sri Sampradaya, the Rudra Sampradaya. Sri Sampradaya means that's coming down through Ramanujacharya. Rudra Sampradaya through Vishnu Swami, or in the modern age, through Vallabha Acharya. The Kumar Sampradaya coming down through Nimbarka Acharya. And Brahma Sampradaya coming down through Madhvacharya. And again, through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So all these Sampradayas, they're teaching what is bona fide, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're all accepted as bona fide because they establish Krishna, or at least Vishnu, who is also Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they all recommend devotion to Him, and then none of them accept that we are one with God. Yeah, that we are in all respects one with God. None of them accept that. So they're all considered bona fide. But even within these sampradayas, you'll find there are different opinions. The Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya is divided into two major branches on a point of philosophy, whether we should accept Krishna consciousness like a monkey or like a cat. That's the logic of the cat and the logic of the monkey. Anyway, they have two major divisions. And you'll find also in the sampradaya that comes from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are so many upper sampradayas. Means they're not considered actually in the proper sampradaya. They're outside the sampradaya. And they have been listed by one Tota Babaji, Aul, Baul, Karta Bhaja, Nera, Darabesh, Smarta, Sahajya, Jad Gosai, Churadhari. He's given the list of all different bogus, Gauranga Nagari. There's all these different bogus sampradayas. Now, these bogus sampradayas, you may find that in many ways, many of the things which they're doing appear to be very nice. Just like there's one bogus sampradaya which came up after Tota Babaji, so they're not included in that list. They chant Bhaja Nitai Gauradhesham Japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram. They don't chant Hare Krishna loudly. They say we chant it quietly because it's not supposed to be chanted loudly, they say. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted it loudly, according to Rupa Goswami, he says, Hare Krishna Iti Uchai. He's describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanting Hare Krishna loudly. But according to them, that's wrong. So they made up a new mantra, which is, there are many mistakes in this mantra. There's rasa bhas. And just the idea that someone can make up a new mantra. Okay, let's make up a new mantra today. Just like people write a new pop song. So we didn't have a new mantra for some time. We're getting bored of this Hare Krishna mantra. So let's make a new one. So in many ways, their sampradaya or upper sampradaya seems to be very nice. They have renovated many of the holy places connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, and they're continuing the worship, and they've written many books on devotional service, and they have many followers, and many of them are very scholarly, and many of them appear to be very saintly. This is more in the past, not nowadays. But still, it's a popular bogus sampradaya. It seems in many ways to be nice, but there's something intrinsically wrong. They thought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't teach us everything. That's why they had to make a new mantra. And there are many such bogus sampradayas. Gauranga Nagari, you'll find, they have a deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu playing a flute. And with him is Vishnu Priya, because they have the idea that Lord Chaitanya is the enjoyer. But Lord Chaitanya never took the... He is Krishna, but he never took the position of the enjoyer. Krishna is the Nagar, he's the enjoyer. Rajabara Nagara, he's the main enjoyer, and everyone else is enjoyed. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't take that position, he took the position of a devotee. So in many ways, what they're doing may appear to be nice, but everything is spoiled because they didn't follow the proper parampara. Therefore, they again come back to materialism. So in our Krishna conscious movement, we have to be very careful also. It's not that just because we're living in a temple which has a sign, ISKCON, painted on the door, that automatically everything is perfect and pure. We have to actually follow what Prabhupada gave us. Therefore, Prabhupada is called Founder Acharya. Prabhupada insisted that wherever the sign is there, or wherever the letterhead is there, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, his name should be put Founder Acharya, not Acharya, Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Now, why is that? Now, someone with crippled intelligence might think, well, maybe he's interested in his own name and fame, but Prabhupada wasn't interested in his name and fame. If he was, he could have made himself famous, because so many gurus, so-called, who went to America at the same time as Prabhupada, became famous. Just there's that long-bearded guy who called himself a Maharishi, so he became famous. And someone else made a mission and called it after himself. So you have the Chinmoy mission, and he became a little bit famous. Prabhupada made Krishna famous all over the world. All over the world, people at least know Hare Krishna. They know at least the words. But hardly they know Prabhupada, because Prabhupada kept himself in the background. He always wanted to promote Krishna. But among his own disciples, he made it clear that he is the founder Acharya. He led by serving, by being the most ideal devotee. He often used to say, as his own spiritual master said, that I don't have any disciples, they're all my gurus. So in his humility he would say that. But he had to teach us also, as one time he called some of his disciples, and because one in the Gurukul in Vrindavan, one of the teachers was saying that we teachers, we have to be gurus, which is true that in one sense, but Prabhupada was a little afraid of the implications of this. So he called the teachers and he told them that you are not guru, I am guru. And another time in Vrindavan, he made it very clear. Another time in Vrindavan, he said that actually in this movement I am preaching and you are all assisting me. So you're preachers, but your preacher means door-to-door salesmen of the holy name. The actual preacher in this movement is Srila Prabhupada. So he wanted to make that very clear, that whatever strength we have, whatever ability we have to do anything in this movement, comes from Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada's ability comes from following his guru, and this line of spiritual power comes from Krishna. Krishna Shakti Bina Nahe Tar Pravartan. The power, all power comes from Krishna. As Prahlad Maharaj told his father Hiranyakashipu was very powerful, but he was defeated by Prahlad, a 5-year-old boy who never did any austerities like Hiranyakashipu. And he defeated Hiranyakashipu not by challenging him, but just by ignoring him as if he was most insignificant. So Hiranyakashipu was frustrated, and he asked Prahlad Maharaj, what is the source of your power? In this way he admitted his defeat. So Prahlad Maharaj said, the source of my power and the source of yours is the same, only I admit it and you don't admit it. Therefore, Prahlad became more powerful than Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu became powerful by performing austerities. Therefore, he was given some power by Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma, he was getting his power from Krishna, that Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, that that whatever benedictions are given by the demigods, they're actually given by me. But I give the demigods some little power of attorney. That, alright, you can give a little power here and a little power there, and some money here, and you can give someone a, make someone a king, and give someone a beautiful wife, and you give some benedictions. But actually, all the power is coming from Krishna. So the power to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, to establish Krishna consciousness, that also comes from Krishna. Krishna Shakti Bina Nahita Pravartan. That power comes from Krishna through the Parampara system. And one who follows the Parampara system, he becomes powerful. But even then, if someone becomes powerful by following the Parampara system, then if he starts to think, oh, now I'm such a great devotee, then again he becomes Punarmushika Bhava. Again a mouse. That story is there. The mouse was afraid of the cat, so he went to the yogi, and the yogi made him into a cat. Then the cat was afraid of the dog. So the yogi said, okay, I'll make you into a dog, and then you won't have any more harassment from the dog. Then the dog was afraid of the tiger. So what do you want now? So make me into a tiger. Okay. And then the tiger was looking at the yogi. Maybe I'd like to eat you. So the yogi saw this and said, okay, now you become a mouse again. So in the same way, someone may become great by serving the great, by the blessings of the great. But if he then wants to eat up the great, if he wants to usurp that position and independently think himself powerful and great, then he becomes bereft of all the blessings that he had. And we've seen that in our movement, that devotees, sometimes they become endowed and endued with some strength to do some extraordinary things. But then again, they lose all strength because they forget the source of their strength. Instead of prarthana kare shada narottama das, instead of praying always to Guru and Krishna for strength, they start to think, well, maybe I'm as good as my Guru now, or maybe I'm even better. Then you again become fallen down and you can't do anything. You can't even follow the regulated principles. If you become devoid of the mercy of Guru received in Parampara, then you don't even have enough strength to follow the regulative principles. What to speak of preaching to others and getting them to follow the regulated principles. So the process of Krishna consciousness is very simple. We simply have to follow what we've heard in Guru Parampara. Very simple. Prabhupada told us, give us such a nice and simple process. Rise early, attend the temple programs, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, follow the four regulated principles, and work within the Krishna conscious movement to help spread this movement. So it's a very nice, very pleasing process. And if we follow this, we'll become purified and we'll get the blessings of all the Parampara Acharyas and we can go back to Godhead. And not only that, but by taking blessings from the Parampara Acharyas, we can act in such a way that others can also take to this process and go back home, back to Godhead. All we have to do is become a good follower. And then our path is very simple and straightforward and clear and easy. But if we start to think, well, how about trying something else? There's a lot of good ideas. After all, Prabhupada was only here for a short time and he didn't really have time to teach us everything. And that time we were very new in our devotional life and we didn't understand so many things. So, probably if Prabhupada was here, probably, that means the speculation has begun, probably he would have taught us so many other things. So why don't we try to find them out and then we'll become more advanced and more sophisticated and our Krishna consciousness movement will become better with teachings that Prabhupada didn't teach us. Because there'll be so many reasons. And then we'll bring in so many different ideas. We read some book by a person who's in Maya, But he appears, he's getting some shakti from the material energy to become an influential person, how to win friends and influence people. There are material ways of doing this. So you read a book and it seems very good, but the person who's writing the book, he's also got the four defects of the conditioned soul, namely Brahma Pramad Vipralipsa Karana Partav. He makes mistakes, he's illusioned, he has imperfect senses, and he has the cheating propensity. So he'll cheat you. He'll write some book about how you have to be nice to everyone and all this, when he's making millions of dollars out of it, giving seminars on how to smile at each other. And then you have to spend $500 to go to his course to tell you how to be nice to others and how to use your time properly and all this kind of thing, which are very simple, straightforward principles, which, you know, anyone with half a brain can understand anyway. But the people who don't have any brain, they spend $500 to go and listen to the guy tell them. And so he's got a good brain. He's making millions of dollars, whoever he is. And like this, so we think, let's incorporate all these sophisticated ideas into our movement. And you know, we have to become more sophisticated, otherwise people won't take us seriously. So we become very sophisticated. We become so sophisticated that we think, well, you know, following all these things like getting up for Mangal Arati, that's not so important. It's more important to be sophisticated. And all these basic things like going on book distribution, and dancing and chanting, all this dancing, I mean, after all, that's for the kids. It's now I'm a senior devotee now, so that's all in the mode of passion, so we shouldn't dance. When you become more sophisticated, you don't dance anymore. So we get contaminated, actually, by taking knowledge, so-called knowledge, from people who don't have clear knowledge of the Absolute Truth. They may have some good ideas here and there, and if we're intelligent, we can take gold from a filthy place. That's also stated by Chanakya Pandit. Prabhupada quoted him. An intelligent person can take knowledge even from a foolish person. That's also there. But take gold from a filthy place doesn't mean that you should permanently reside in a filthy place, saying, I'm getting gold. Or that we should permanently put our mind into a filthy place of this some kami guy's book. And because it's filthy, because there's no talk of Krishna. You'll read the whole book and it sounds very nice, but you won't find the name Krishna. Or what is the goal of life? The goal of life, he may not directly state it, but his goal of life is how to enjoy sense gratification. That's all. How to enjoy sense gratification in maybe a better way, that by being, I'll be nice to you, you'll be nice to me. And in this way we'll all be nice to each other, and we'll live peacefully and have a nice life of sense gratification. And no Krishna, no surrender to Krishna. So these ideas, they come through subtly. Very subtly they come through. So that we find that, and then there'll be advice that don't strain yourself, you shouldn't be too extreme. So then we start to think, well, after all this Krishna conscious movement, it's quite extreme, isn't it? So maybe we should, you know, take it a little, not so extremely, otherwise the kamis won't be attracted. If they see that we're so extreme, rising early in the morning, then, I mean, after all, how many people can join a movement where they tell you to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning? So I think what we should do is, we should get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then more people will join our movement. It's a good idea, isn't it? It's probably true too. If we make a movement where there's no principles, we can probably get a lot of followers. It will be very popular. Of course, no one will go back to Godhead, and there'll be no ecstasy. There'll be no ecstasy, but we'll have a lot of followers, and we can say, just see, we're doing a lot of preaching. We got 500 people to come to our temple. But actually what will happen, you won't get anyone to come to your temple. You won't even get any devotees in the temple, because who will want to stay in the temple? Because the temple means you have to work hard for Krishna. That's ecstatic. But if no one wants to work hard for Krishna, then why will they stay? And then you'll think, well, so many ideas will come that I'm working hard. Now, if I was doing this in the Kami world, I'd be earning $1,000 a month. So why don't they should give me? I'm qualified, I have a PhD. So I should get good pay, the same as I would get in the Kami world. We hear such things sometimes from people who have gone off the line. They come in Krishna consciousness, they follow for some time, and then they think, well, what's in it for me? I'm here now, be here now. That's the philosophy of the modern world. Be here now. So it's all right talking about this going back to Godhead and all these things, but what about now? I need a good car. I need plenty of money. I need to live very respectably. Otherwise, when we go to preach, no one will take us seriously unless I have a first-class car and first-class silk clothes and all these things. No one will take me very seriously. So I have to have these things. Now, you may have these things. That's all right. We're not saying you shouldn't have these things. But if you think that that is the sign of success in Krishna consciousness, this devotee has become successful. How do you know? Because he has a first-class car. That is not the sign of success in devotional service. The sign of success in devotional service is vairagya vidya, renunciation of all material desires. You can also have a first-class car, but you have to have the renounced attitude that I don't need this for me, but in Krishna's service I'm using, if you really need it. Otherwise, there's no need for these things. So anyway, there may be so many different ideas which come, and someone will teach that, well, now we have something better than what Prabhupada taught, or something more intimate than what Prabhupada taught, and I'll give you a process which Prabhupada didn't teach you, by which you can very quickly become a pure devotee, and within 3 days you can see the gopis dancing, and so many different ideas they'll give. You can know for sure if anyone says that we're giving you something, it's better than what Prabhupada gave. It's bogus. Definitely it's bogus. Because Prabhupada came, he was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to do what he did. No one else did it. So Lord Chaitanya wanted this movement spread all over the world, and he gave the power of attorney to Prabhupada to do that. So it's not that Prabhupada, he gave the power of attorney to Prabhupada to spread Krishna consciousness 50%. And then someone else has to come and teach all the philosophy which Prabhupada didn't teach. No, Prabhupada said that everything you need to become fully Krishna conscious is in my books. And Prabhupada wasn't cheating us. Again, it's not that he said that just because he wants his own prestige. Not at all. Prabhupada wasn't interested in prestige. If you think like that, that's offensive. Or another way of thinking, even more dangerous than saying, now we're teaching something better than Prabhupada, because then you can immediately detect that this person's a cheater if they say that. If they teach something else and they say, actually, this is what Prabhupada is teaching, but, you know, it's just a more advanced understanding. You have to be practical, Prabhu, and understand that this is what this is really what Prabhupada wanted. But now you see, I'm very intelligent and I've understood that Prabhupada told us this, 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 and this, but actually, he didn't really mean that. He meant something slightly different, which I'm telling you. So this is all bogus, and it's dangerous, and it's going to come for sure, because not going to come is coming and will come, because that's natural. We see that in the course of history, that whenever a great charismatic leader comes, he attracts many followers, and after he leaves, or even within his very presence, they start, different people who are supposed to be his followers, they take advantage of his name to promote something different. And it's in the field of religion. You'll find in Islam there are so many branches. In Christianity there are so many branches. Why should there be so many branches? If Christ taught one thing, then there should be one way of following it. That's why you have the Catholic Church. Catholic means universal. It means what everyone's supposed to follow. But then you find there's so many different sects. And even the Catholic Church itself isn't following what Jesus said. So that's why there's so many different sects. Because people detected that. They became, first of all, Protestant. They protested. Hey, that's not right. So then you get people protesting against the Protestants. And then it goes on and on and on. And not only in the religious field, even you'll see different, Karl Marx, he made some philosophy, and there are so many different interpretations of that. So this is the nature to speculate, deviate, especially in Krishna consciousness. We see that it's Paramakarana Pahundri Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra Shabhi Avatar Sharashiromani Kivali Ananda Kanda. It is the path of happiness. So it's the path of happiness that Lord Chaitanya has given, Gaura Nitai have given. It's a path of ecstasy. So everyone wants to be happy. But there are some little condition how to become ecstatic. That is, bhaja bhaja bhai chaitanya nitai sujara bishasakari bishaya charya shri rasa majya mukhe valo hari hari. With firm faith in the instructions of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda as received in Guru Parampara, we have to give up sense gratification. Just one little condition. Just give up sense gratification. Then when we chant the holy names of Krishna, we can be absorbed in ecstasy. But there are bogus people who think that, yes, I like the ecstasy, but I don't like all these rules and regulations. So let's have Krishna consciousness with ecstasy and no need of rules and regulations. This is the half-chicken philosophy. That I like the front, I like the back of the chicken because I'm a demon and I eat eggs and I get an egg every day from the back of the chicken. But I don't like the front of the chicken because I have to feed it. So chop off the front and keep the back, and then you end up with no eggs and no chicken. So this half chicken philosophy, ardha kukuti nyai, you think, I like the ecstasy, so we'll have only ecstasy and no rules and regulations. That is called sahajya. Easy, too easy. This is very common in Bengal. Most preaching in Bengal means people, they already know Gaura Nitai, they already know Radha Krishna, they already know Kirtan, they already know the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. What are you going to tell them? You have to tell them to give up all their bogus ideas. Because on top of Gaura Nitai, Radha Krishna, Sankirtan, they've put in so many bogus ideas that you don't have to follow rules and regulations. God is very merciful, so if we eat fish, He won't mind. We'll chant Hare Krishna, we'll get free from all sins. So it's very dangerous. And the whole process of Krishna consciousness becomes polluted. Actually, the process can't become polluted, but the way it's presented becomes polluted. Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidhing Vina Aikantiki Hare Bhakti Utpatayaiva Kalpate. Rupa Goswami already predicted that. When he wrote his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he said that so-called devotional service, which does not exactly follow the path given in the Shastra, that is not devotional service, it is simply a disturbance in society. And we find that in the name of Krishna consciousness, there are so many disturbances. Srila Prabhupada, he used to say that preaching Krishna consciousness in the Western countries is so easy compared to India. Because in the West, I just tell them, do this, do that, and they say yes, and they follow. But in India, they'll say yes, but what about this, and what about that, and well, my Guruji said this, and something else. They'll bring so many other ideas. But now it's the same in the West also, because now our devotees have been to India, and Indian gurus have come here, they see there's so many devotees of Krishna, let's go and scoop a few of them up and bring them into my movement. And there are so many different ideas, and it becomes more difficult to preach Krishna consciousness because people think, now we have all kinds of sahajya movements in the Western countries, complete sahajya, and different ideas that Prabhupada was okay, but there's a new Swami, he's really good. You should go and see him if you really want to get the ecstasy. So there's so many deviant sects which are trying to take us away from the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and the simple, straightforward instructions he gave us. And even within our own movement, there may be so many different ideas about a new way to follow Srila Prabhupada or something like this. But we should know clearly that what Srila Prabhupada taught is ordained by Krishna. He is the founder acharya of this Krishna consciousness movement. For the next 10,000 years, we have to follow Krishna consciousness as Prabhupada taught. And if we do that, everything is simple, straightforward, and clear. It's so easy. Rise early, go to Mangalati, chant your rounds, follow the four regulated principles, cooperate within this movement for spreading Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada's books are the basis. Whatever is in Prabhupada's books, that they are the law books for the next 10,000 years. Very straightforward and simple and clear. But if we ourselves have a deviant mentality, then we're in a very dangerous condition. Because so many deviants will come, and we will be attracted, and we'll think this is very nice, and we'll make so many excuses, and we won't follow the path of Prabhupada, and we become deviated, and we won't go back to Godhead. Although we may think I'm very advanced, but we'll be actually deviated. So let us stick to the process of Krishna consciousness as Srila Prabhupada has given. The choice is there for all of us. We can follow or not follow. It's up to us. Prabhupada has given us everything. It's up to follow. Up to us to follow. If we do that, follow means you have to become a follower of Srila Prabhupada's followers. So if you follow those who are strictly following Prabhupada, then you'll get the same result. As just like some people say, oh, I want to become a disciple of Srila Prabhupada directly. I don't need any guru. I just, in the previous purport, this idea is debunked. Now, I don't need any guru. I'll just become Prabhupada's disciple directly. And then why don't you become Krishna's disciple directly? You become Arjuna. No, there's a system. You have to become the disciple. You have to become the disciple of the disciple. That's how the parampara comes. In every generation, the parampara. You become a directly disciple of Krishna. But you get the same result as Arjuna got by hearing Bhagavad Gita if you follow as the message is received in parampara. Received in parampara means who is disciple, he receives the message exactly as he has heard it, he follows it in his own life, and he teaches his disciples. So exactly the same result is got. If anyone changes anything a little bit, then you get Hinduism. And if you just keep it exactly the same, then the same result you get as Arjuna got from following Krishna. So the same thing. You get, if you become the disciple of a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, disciple means not necessarily someone who at one point in time was fortunate enough to sit in a ceremony and be given a name by Prabhupada. That doesn't mean necessarily that you're actually a disciple. Of course, that's called Prabhupada disciple. But real disciple means one who follows the discipline. Someone says, I'm a Prabhupada disciple, but I've been smoking dope for the last 15 years. And he's not a Prabhupada disciple. Disciple means you have to follow. And then someone will come and they didn't follow anything for so many years. And now I'm telling you how to follow Prabhupada. All these gurus, they're no good. I'll tell you how to follow Prabhupada. So you have to see. Disciple means who follows the discipline. The same thing. Disciple, discipline. The same root is in Sanskrit. We have shishya, shashan. It means shishya means disciple, and shashan means discipline. Same point is there. There's no meaning to being a disciple if you don't follow the discipline. So I'm fed up of being bhakta so and so. No one treats me seriously. So let me. I have to get a guru. Okay, now I got a new name, Krishna Das. Now I'm an initiated devotee, so everyone respects me. Now next thing, I have to become Brahmin initiated. Then I'll really be fixed. Then everyone will really respect me like anything. And you're nothing unless you're Brahmin initiated. So you have to do this. You have to climb up the ladder and get respected. But that's not becoming a disciple. Disciple means you have to become a follower. So these are simple principles which everyone should understand. Krishna consciousness is very simple, straightforward, and natural. But we have to be simple and straightforward and natural. That doesn't mean becoming hippies. That means following the path of devotional service exactly as it is given. If we do that, then Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam Pratipadam Purnam Ritas Vardhanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. We will enter into the ocean, ever increasing ocean of transcendental bliss. We will taste nectar at every step. Our whole consciousness will become purified by the power of linking with the Sankirtan movement. But if we don't, if we have some new idea, then we may fool ourselves into thinking that we're in the ocean of ecstasy, but that will be artificial ecstasy. That won't be real ecstasy. We'll still have lust, greed, anger, all these things in our heart. Kam krodha lobha moha madadi abhishta eshab na chere kise pabe radha Krishna. As long as we have all these bad things in our heart, then where's the question of attaining to the service of Radha and Krishna? So if we actually do follow, then we will taste nectar at every step, we'll become perfectly cleansed and purified. But if we don't follow, then we end up with something else. So Krishna consciousness is very clear. It's extremely clear. So if we are sincere and straightforward, just follow. And if not, then God alone will not be able to help us. Can help us. God Himself won't be able to help us. It means He is helping us by giving us the process. But if we don't follow, then we're bereft of the mercy. Is there any question? Question considering this whole chapter, the Payavrata process of worship. Kashyapa engaged his wife Aditi in devotional service with material desires. So what is the difference between engaging your material desires in Krishna's service and yukta vairagya? Actually, material desires cannot be engaged in Krishna's service. Krishna can only be served purely. But that means actual devotional service begins when we are completely pure. But to become purified, we take up the process of devotional service. And in the beginning of devotional service, if we're actually going to achieve success, then we have to take up the mentality of becoming purified. If we think, I'm here to enjoy myself on the mundane platform, then we can never become purified. So even though it's understood we have so many material desires, if in the beginning we take the vow or to that now I'm going to engage in such a way that I can become purified, then there is hope of purification. Then how to engage, how to take up the path by which we can become purified, because ourselves being contaminated, how can we know that? What is proper to do and what is not proper to do? Then we have to take guidance from Guru, who engages us in such a way that we become purified. That's why I was saying in the class, we have to exactly follow what Prabhupada has given as that is received in Guru Parampara. Because if we think, well, I have my idea of how to perform devotional service, then that means we're applying our materially contaminated ideas, and the result will be that you won't get pure devotional service. So even with impure consciousness, if we're engaged in devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide guru who engages us in activities which are meant for purification, and at the same time regularly hearing what is the goal to become purified and striving to become purified, that is the process of sadhana bhakti by which one becomes purified. Yukta vairagya means to use everything in Krishna's service but not to be attached. Just like you can have a first class car and use it in Krishna's service. Now, if you're actually detached, then you're not attached to the car, but you're attached to Krishna's service. But the danger is, when we use all nice things, that we become materially attached. And instead, we're using the car in Krishna's service, but at the same time thinking, you see what a nice car I have? I'm so prestigious. So again, our material desires become mixed up. Therefore, again, the point comes, we have to hear regularly and regularly see what is in our hearts. Why are we doing this? How are we performing our devotional service? Are we actually purifying our desires or not? So yukta vairagya, that again, that has to be performed under the direction of an expert guide. Otherwise, instead of becoming detached from all these things by using them in Krishna service, we can again become attached. And we sometimes see this. Devotees, sometimes devotees sell paintings to raise funds for using in Krishna's service. But sometimes what happens is, because they're not hearing properly, or their motives aren't pure enough, or whatever, because they're dealing with materialistic people in a material way, and they're getting plenty of money, and to do that service you're supposed to have a nice car, nice clothes, so it looks like you're successful, and people think, well, other people must have bought things from him, otherwise how could he have so much money? Let me also give some money. So the danger is that if you're not engaged directly in preaching, and you're engaged with a lot of money. The two traditional dangers, or ever-present dangers, to the aspiring transcendentalist are kanak and kamani, means money and women. So if you become attracted to the money, then you start to think in terms of material prestige, and you become deviated from the process. You become materialistic. You become attracted to material things. And we see this. This happens many times when devotees, they take up a process which in itself, raising funds for Krishna service in itself, is not bad. That's one kind of yukta vairagya. But it can be very dangerous also. Therefore, all these activities have to be undertaken under the guidance of an expert guide, expert spiritual master, expert leader, so that we don't fall back into material sense gratification. Material desires may be there, but we shouldn't cultivate them in the name of devotional service. Then we become, again, deviated. We must strenuously try to become purified, to overcome material desires as soon as possible. Don't think that, all right, I'll gradually become purified. Let it be gradual. We shouldn't think like that. We should, at the same time, understanding that it's a gradual process, not being disappointed that we can't immediately become purified. At the same time, we shouldn't deliberately cultivate material desires. We should be very careful to overcome them and give them up. Any other question?
You said that we have to accept initiation and chanting of Hare Krishna Mantra and to accept instructions from Guru, that we can't be directly disciples of Sri Prabhupada. I'm interested, what is my position now before the official formal initiation? How can I progress?
Yeah, everyone in this Krishna conscious movement is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. You become a disciple of Srila Prabhupada by becoming a disciple of his disciple. That way you also become his disciple. You become part of the family. So before initiation, you're also part of the family. Exactly which room you belong in, that we have to see. Room means all whoever you accept initiation from, that all the gurus are supposed to teach the same thing anyway. So you're under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. But to solidify that position, you have to become under the specific guidance of one of his disciples. So you're accepted. But to be accepted fully, you have to go to the next stage. So any other question?
Сейчас чуем, да, что некие бхакты кажут, да, было бы криво, да, мы слышали в храм, мы завершили образование, колледж и так далее, да, и нас там сослужили, как в кухне, I sad neki bhakti kažu da to je pogrešno. Moramo imati obrazovane ljude, moramo završiti koleđe. Na taj način bi mogli služiti bolje jer ćemo pokazati ljudima da smo obrazovani i da će nas shvatiti ozbiljno da li je to dobro i na koji način je. I
most of Srila Prabhupada's disciples were college dropouts. Most of the gurus in this movement. Srila Prabhupada also did say when devotees were at school or at college, Prabhupada not always but usually encouraged them to finish that. There's one letter to one of his disciples, I think she was 15 years old at the time, Ekayani. So he said that in that letter he wrote, she was asking if she could join the temple. Prabhupada said, no, you're still young, this is the age for schooling, so we also need devotees, that devotees should be educated. So he also, both things are there. One of my godbrothers, Mahaman Prabhu, is the town president in Vrindavan now. So when I joined the temple, he was coming to, he was already initiated, but he was at university, and Prabhupada had told him that you already did 2 years of your course, you might as well finish it. So both things are there. We have to see. It's not a regulative principle that everyone who joins this movement has to first of all become a PhD, then we'll accept him. But it's also not necessary in every case that everyone should join young. It may be that some people join young, they're actually not mature enough to live in a temple or whatever. That may be there also. We have to see the individual case. I personally generally think that if someone's ready to serve Krishna, then let them come forward and do it, because by the time they go through their college and university, maybe they don't want to by the time they come out the other end. Krishna consciousness is it's such a rare gift that we can achieve after many millions of lifetimes. So if someone is ready to serve Krishna, let them come forward and do it. That's my general feeling. But that, as I say, there's another side to the picture also. We have to see the individual case, but we can't say that in every case that everyone has to get educated, then people will respect us more. People will respect us more if our members are educated, but basically they don't respect you just because of that. They'll respect you if you're following your principles, mainly. They'll respect us for our principles. We may be highly educated, but if we don't follow the principles, who's going to respect us? So another consideration is that even without going to college or university, if you study Prabhupada's books, even from the material point of view, from the external point of view, if you have a good background in Prabhupada's books, that's at least as good as a college education, and actually much better, because you can defeat anybody with any kind of college education just on the basis of reading Prabhupada's books. And I travel in different places, and sometimes people ask me, which university did you go to? Or what did you take your degree in? And I didn't go to any. I mean, I've been to many universities for preaching, but I never studied in a university. So you become educated, you get the highest education. Vidya Bhagavata Adibi, the limit, the topmost limit of all education is to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So that again, you'll find in the next purport, Prabhupada is quoting this, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Pada Sevanam, Achanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakyam Atmanivedanam, the nine processes of devotional service. So this verse was spoken as a reply to Hiranyakashipu by Prahlad Maharaj, that what is the best thing you have learned? So he said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Pada Sevanam, Achanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakyam Atmanivedanam, Iti Pungshapita Vishnu, Bhaktis Chainava Lakshana, Creator Bhagavatyata, Tanmanye Dhitamutamam. He said that these nine processes of devotional service, this is the best thing I have learned. So this mundane education in itself, it's what is the value? It has no intrinsic value. Rather, it is, it makes you into an ass, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that Jaro Bidda Jato Maya Bhaibhav Tomar Bhajane Badha Anitya Sangshari Mohajanamiya Jivke Koriye Gadha. he says that this what is that? This so-called knowledge is not actual knowledge. It is actually an obstacle in our progressive devotional life. Because you think, well, actually, because many karmis, they are very intelligent, and we become impressed by their intelligence. Oh, they say, we should take... But actually, we can't take them seriously because they are fools if they don't know Krishna. Even though they have some facility from the material energy to juggle words and ideas, they don't know who they are. They don't know that they're eternal servants of Krishna. So it's like a big smoke screen or a big like a cartoon or something. It looks real, but it's not real. It has no basis. So it's fascinating. Intellectual development is fascinating, but it's not pure devotional service. It makes you into an ass, because an ass makes a big noise. But it's only an ass after all. An ass is making a big noise. And an ass is engaged as the servant of a low-class washerman. So all the intellectuals, they're also engaged. They have to get their research grants, and they can't live independently. So intrinsically, this so-called higher education, it's not higher education anyway. It has no intrinsic value, and it's dangerous in as much as it may deviate us from devotional service. But if someone's already doing it, we may say, go on, and you might as well finish your course. But they should know that in itself it has no value. Just like we may drive the nice car, we don't need a first-class car, but we may drive a first-class car just so people give little respect like this. Or we may wear first-class clothes, though we don't need it for ourselves, just so people may give a little respect, but we shouldn't be attached to that. Otherwise, it's dangerous. And also those who are joining the movement and say, I don't want to go to school, college, then after 10 years, I want to get married, and I spent 10 years washing the pots, and I didn't get anything from ISKCON, and I should have done my degree. Don't complain. If you come, understanding what you're doing, come to serve Krishna, and don't think that you lost anything because you didn't go to college. You come by your own choice. You didn't lose anything. If you wash the pots all your life, that's the most glorious thing, if you wash them for Krishna. And getting a university degree, if you don't get that, that's your material desire. If later on you want to go back to college and get a degree. Once you come and stay. Don't think there's something better outside. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.